Please be seated. Good morning. This is our last scheduled day for oral argument in September. And our first case today is 11 AP 1045, Thomas D. Noel versus the City of Warsaw. Arguing on behalf of the City of Warsaw is Shane Von Vandewal. And arguing on behalf of Mr. Noel will be Ryan D. Lister. And we have Ann Jacobson in rebuttal. Mr. Vandewal.
May it please the court, my name is Shane Vandewal. I'm here with Ann Jacobson.
Mr. Vandewal, you'll have to speak up or move, have the microphone, have the podium raised, please.
We're
going to raise the podium for you. Thank you, Marshall.
What's that? I appreciate it. You could have let it continue.
The acoustics in this room leave something to be desired, so you'll have to keep
talking. An intimidating room, Chief Justice. And may it please the court, my name is Shane Vandewal, and I am here with Ann Jacobson on behalf of the City of Wausau, who is the petitioner respondent in this matter. This matter, as the court is aware, is an alcohol licensing non-renewal matter. Alcohol licensing, as the courts have established in the past, is a matter of local concern. Every municipality in the state of Wisconsin has the power to grant, revoke, suspend, refuse to renew alcohol licenses in the state. Licensing is the primary tool to regulate the sales and consumption of alcohol by municipalities. When a municipality determines to revoke or suspend or refuse to renew an alcohol license, it must base that decision on the factors set out in Chapter 125, specifically 125.12 sub 2AG. There are seven factors. However, note for the court that when initially granting a license, the municipality is not bound by the factors set forth in 125.12.2AG. In fact, cases and 125.12.3M have indicated that there is really no substantive criteria in granting an alcohol license, an initial grant of a license. The statute 125.51 indicates that the initial grant of a license by a municipality shall be as the municipality deems proper, is the express language of the statute. The Court of Appeals in this decision did not recognize that an applicant or a licensee who is dissatisfied with a decision of a municipality has the opportunity to pursue review under 125, I'm just going to call it 2D instead of repeating the entire statute. However, the Court of Appeals decided that that decision will be made de novo by the circuit court. Yet, there is no substantive decision making. There is no substantive factors or criteria that the circuit court can look at as an example when it is initial application for a liquor license. The de novo review aspect that the Court of Appeals relies on fails to also recognize the local legislative nature of the grant of a liquor license. It's why the Supreme Court, as far back as Ruffalo, told us that when municipal courts act to grant, the municipality is granted the same discretion in renewing liquor licenses as they are when they grant the original license. It's why the courts, since Ruffalo and quite honestly before Ruffalo, have found that where the judicial branch has jurisdiction to review the action of a legislative function, that is the grant of a liquor license, the facts that lie within that body, the municipality, must be disclosed so the record is complete and adequate to determine whether action was arbitrary and capricious.
Counsel.
Yes.
What is the record, and I have not read this, of the City Council or the committee? Was it transcribed? Was it taped? Were excerpts made? Minutes made?
The statute, in this case.
Yes, in this case. Because
this
we have
we
an amicus brief that tells you how to do it in Racine, right. Madison, and what was it? One other county, Milwaukee? Right. Go ahead. So what was done here?
In this matter, we had a court reporter, Your Honor, attend the hearing in front of the City of Wausau Public Health and Safety Committee meeting.
It was transcribed.
It was transcribed.
Okay, so we have all the evidence here as it was done.
Judge Grau had all of the evidence when he made his rulings.
Here's my problem. As I read your brief, and as I read the brief of Mr. Noel, it seemed to me you were taking the view that the circuit court had to rely on the record made before the city and use the cert review for elements of cert review and reach a decision. It was sort of an absolutist position. And it seemed to me that the other side and the amicus, well, it seems to me the amicus take that position too. It seems to me that Mr. Noel takes the position it's a de novo, period, an absolute position. De novo, you take an absolute position, limited cert, limited record only of the city. And it seems to me the statute is something in between. The statute says that there shall be a review proceeding. You can read review and I can read appeal, meaning there's something to review. Or you can say, well, it says that there's a hearing and it says you can have subpoenas for witnesses. And then it doesn't say anything other than the trial court shall issue a decision. So it seems to me the statute says it's a review. Seems to me the statute recognizes that when you read it in context that the city makes the decision. Cases say it's a legislative decision. But the legislature has given more than just a paper record review to the circuit court. It says the trial court can take evidence. So is it your position the trial court cannot take evidence?
No, that is not my position.
What is your position?
And I apologize if that was not clear.
No. It may be just my reading, but I want to know what's your position. And on what kind of evidence does the circuit court take under the statute? And how does the circuit court make a decision looking at the record below, that is at the city level, and the evidentiary hearing?
I believe the way Judge Grau conducted this hearing is exactly how the statute is to be interpreted.
Okay, and what did he do?
And that is, it is not a matter of simply a common law type of certiorari record review that we traditionally think of. As an example, Chief Justice, I would think of 6223 is a matter of statutory cert, which a statute allows the taking of additional evidence. What additional evidence should the court look at? Like Judge Grau did in this case, whether the city of Wausau kept within its jurisdiction, whether it proceeded on the correct theory of law, and what the Noels really attacked at the hearing in front of Judge Grau was whether the city's actions were arbitrary and unreasonable or oppressive. As the court is aware, when reviewing the record, there was a number of witnesses challenging the city of Wausau's why they chose implications of non-renewal to give the liquor license to another licensee or another applicant for that license. So I don't think it is a paper record. I agree with Chief Justice that it is, in my opinion, a statutory review process. The hearing, because the statute clearly says you're entitled to a hearing, but it is a review hearing, and only, I truly believe that only if you read that statute that way, is it consistent with looking at the legislative authority that a municipality has in the grant and renewal when we look at the other statutory sections trying to read into context this 2D section, why we're left to ask ourselves, why would the legislature require, as an example in 51 sub C, the clerk is to put in the minutes the decisions as to why not to, why the license was to be denied or non-renewed. I also would note that when we are looking at the language of judicial review, the statute specifically says procedure. It doesn't say the standard of review. It says the procedure on review. When I read that, and I think as the courts for years have read it, the procedure on review is there will be this statutory certiorari review hearing where the court is free to subpoena witnesses, where the court is free to take additional evidence, but that evidence has to be relevant to something, and it's relevant to the standard which the court has to weigh that legislative decision by the municipality, which is our certiorari standards that I briefly mentioned earlier.
Counsel, I'd like to ask you, it seems the Court of Appeals in its opinion recognized that its interpretation of this statute is at odds, or as they said, is a deviation or departure from the usual judicial review afforded to the municipality's police powers. They did, it seems to me, give two reasons for why they were going to deviate from the normal review interpretation. And the first is at page 4 of their opinion, in paragraph 8, where they refer to sub 2D, stating that on review the court, they say, unambiguously states that on review the court must use the same procedures as in civil actions. However, they go on to cite a 1966 case, which indicates that civil procedure is not applicable to certiorari, so therefore it couldn't. That kind of speaks for itself as far as what their rationale was. But the second is on page 5, same paragraph 8. Further, they say, certiorari statutes usually include some provision specifying the manner in which return of the inferior tribunal's record is to be made. No such provisions, they say, are found in 125.12.2d. What do you make of those two? What is your response, I should say, to those two bases for the Court of Appeals opinion?
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Judge Mangerson. With all due respect to Judge Mangerson, I believe that his reliance on Merkel was misplaced. If the court reads the Merkel case, it was a situation where there was a review from a writ of certiorari. And as you've alluded to, Justice Gableman, the statutes, and I believe it is 781.03, indicates or states that in a certiorari action, the record will be returned to the lower from the lower tribunal to the reviewing court. And I would point out that not every statute that all of us looking at these statutes, simply because it doesn't say that the record should be returned, doesn't mean then that that is an indicator that it's not certiorari. And as an example, I point to 70.47, which is the Board of Review statute. If a taxpayer is not satisfied with the Board of Review proceeding, that statute explicitly states they are one method, and I appreciate there's Chapter 71, but 73. One method is under 7047. That is by certiorari. That statute further specifically states certiorari, but makes no reference to the return of a record.
I don't know the answer to this, but right. It would seem to me that the record would have to be returned no matter what. I mean, at some point, there's got to be a transfer of the record, whether it's certiorari or de novo.
I agree there has to be a return of the record. Number one, we have a statute that requires it in a certiorari action, which is 708, the certiorari statute. And it's also consistent with what the Supreme Court has ruled since the early 60s, and that is where the judicial branch is reviewing the legislative branch or the legislative action. The knowledge that lies within the municipality has to be disclosed. So the trial court and the courts can review to make sure that the action wasn't arbitrary and capricious.
It also just seems to fit, and I don't know if you have any authority that backs this up, but just reading this, it seems to me to fit with the nature of appellate review. No matter what court we're talking about, even when a circuit court sits as appellate review, either certiorari or de novo, the court to be conducting the review has to have the record. I mean, that's just the nature.
It's sort of intertwined in the fact that this is a review proceeding, which is exactly what the language of the statute says. It is a review, and it is a hearing. The statute doesn't say it will be a de novo trial. If it were a de novo trial, what are the standards and what standards are the municipalities or the litigants, I should say, the licensees, to adhere to? And what standards are the trial court to look for, especially in the instance of the granting or the failure to granting a new license? I know one could argue, and I think I made a comment in one of our briefs about the procedure for the termination or suspension of a police and firefighter, but the language of that statute is clear that the trial court will have a trial and make a determination of just cause.
Counsel, in response to Justice Gableman's question, you made reference to 781 for return of the record.
I believe it's 781.
In 781.03, that there's a provision regarding transfer of record.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's return of record.
I believe that was the statute, and again, if it's that or 80102, and or the cases that support that. As an example, I think the Nash case, which is I appreciate a Chapter 227 matter, indicates a return of the record, as Justice Gableman points out, and I believe as the previous Supreme Court decisions, there has to be something to review. And if the statute requires a review, there will be a return of the record, and that is exactly what the City of Wausau did in this instance.
In follow to an earlier question, there's a distinction made, of course, to statutory certiorari and common law certiorari. And generally speaking, common law certiorari, upon review by the circuit court, is limited to the record below in common law. This appears to be statutory, of some kind of judicial review. What in the statute under D, judicial review, and of course I'm referring to 125.12 thank you. What in that statute, which is entitled judicial review, informs the reader as to what's going to happen at this review hearing, if anything? In other words, is the judge tied to the record as it is in common law? Can the judge amplify the record? And if so, how can the judge do that?
I think the trial court can amplify the record. Clearly, the language states that a trial judge or the litigants have the opportunity to subpoena witnesses. There will be a hearing on that. But you have to also, again, I'm using as the example the zoning statute, because right now it's the only one I can think of off the top of my head, that allows for the taking of additional evidence from a decision of a municipality when they're acting in a legislative type of function. The trial courts can and have taken additional evidence to amplify the record or to hear out the litigants. As an example, if a litigant and a licensee has made an appeal and is making the argument that one of the council members is not being fair and unbiased, which would attack the third prong of certiorari review, I believe they would have that opportunity to subpoena that person and have the court review. So the court can make the determination whether the decision by the municipality was arbitrary, unreasonable, and oppressive. And that's consistent with the Beru case, which was decided 53 years ago, where it's the municipality is answerable to the people who conferred the power on them, the authority of licensing and the discretions to grant or refuse a license. It's only upon that proof, a hearing and the record and a hearing, that they acted arbitrarily and capriciously, that is when the courts can interfere with that decision. I also believe that, again, the plain language just simply tells us that this is what the procedure is going to be at the hearing, much like the procedure at a certiorari review hearing under 6223. But we cannot ignore the language that states that it is a procedure, and that the procedure allows for the taking of additional evidence, but that evidence, I submit, is through the statutory, is through the certiorari, the four prongs analysis, as Judge Grau did here. And that also would be consistent with the idea that a litigant and licensee has a property interest, not a property right, to their license. Because the courts have acknowledged a property interest in that right, in that license, the courts will grant a measure of due process, and the municipalities must grant a measure of due process before a license once granted is non-renewed, revoked, or suspended. That property right, as this court has recognized, as I believe as recently as 2008, is an interest in due process, but to go beyond an interest and make that a right, the courts and the Supreme Court in Wisconsin has determined that it is against public policy in that by making it a right, it would violate public policy. Thank you very much.
Are there any further questions? I have just one. When Mr. Noel filed his pleadings, did he file the transcript of the hearings?
Did Ms. The City of Wausau filed...
In the answer?
In the answer, the City of Wausau filed an answer. I filed it. Ms. Jacobson and I filed an answer and a record of prior proceeding, which included all of the exhibits and the transcript of the hearing in front of the Public Health and Safety.
The conclusions of law and findings of fact.
Correct.
All of that was put into your answer.
Yes.
So that was all before the circuit court by answer, which is provided for in 125.12.2D.
Correct.
Thank you, counsel. You have 5 minutes in rebuttal. That is, Ms. Jacobson. You'll make that. Mr. Lister, Attorney Ryan D. Lister, representing Thomas Noel.
Good morning. If it please the court, Ryan Lister appearing on behalf of Thomas and Supor Noel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really an issue of statutory construction. And when we get into the acid test in here is when construing a statute, we're to give meaning to all of the words of the statute. And if we don't, if we follow the idea that this is a certiorari review, we will be declaring a lot of portions of the statute as surplus. For example, the statute says, and I'm of course referring to 125.12 sub 2 sub D, and I will follow the procedure of just calling it sub 2 sub D. The statute refers to an answer. Well, of course, in certiorari there is no answer. So if the view is that and a petition for a writ of certiorari and the writ is granted, this would become surplus.
Counsel, do you think the court just missed the boat on Ottman and Wisconsin Dolls and Park 6 and Questions, Inc. when they dealt with this as if it was certiorari review?
Yes and no, Madam Justice. What I mean by that is this particular area of review is a limitation on a city's or municipality's police powers. And here the legislature has spoken and laid out a very particular method of review. And in that sense, the court did not miss the boat. We have to deal with liquor law cases as this statute reads, not other cases that deal with other forms of certiorari.
Okay, so those cases didn't deal with the section that you're talking about. Is that...
Some of them did, Judge, but in some of those cases, not a single case cited by either the city or I could find ever dealt with this particular issue. I believe this issue is an issue of first impression before this court.
Counsel, that gets me to the issue or question regarding dicta. Justice Ziegler referenced some rather recent cases of this court the Ottman case and the Wisconsin Dolls case, but there are a number of cases, of course, that even precede that, that deal with the issue of Chapter 125, alcoholic beverages, and a plethora of cases that have employed a certiorari review. Is it your position that the language in those cases saying something like, in this case, we review the action by certiorari, or this is a case for certiorari review. Sometimes an opinion may even start with that as a single declarative sentence. What precedential value is there to that kind of language in those opinions?
Judge, I would respectfully suggest there is none. And the reason for that is going all the way back to Marquette Savings and Loan Association, 1968 Supreme Court decision. And in that particular case, the Supreme Court, dealing with, a liquor license, made the position that there exists no special provision granting the right of judicial review to the applicant who has been denied a license by the village board. And the Supreme Court then said, given that there's no statutory provision, we will proceed as certiorari.
That was before the change of the statute. That was under 167, though, wasn't it?
That's correct, Judge. And my point is that I believe that this is the first time that, this issue has been raised directly to this court.
Is it your position, if the issue isn't raised directly, that the language in our opinions that state that we are reviewing the decision by certiorari is meaningless?
It is certainly not meaningless, Judge. What happens, I believe, in that situation is until the issue is directly presented, I think the court proceeds as the lower courts have done. The Supreme Court is reviewing appellate court and trial court decisions that were done by certiorari. There are a number of cases where the courts have stated that we are proceeding by certiorari even though this issue was not raised.
So if we accept your argument, do we need to do anything with those cases?
I don't believe you have to, Judge. I believe
so you're saying
Madam
they
Justice
come out the said. Same way, whether it's de novo or certiorari review?
I believe that those prior decisions were never exactly on this point, and I don't believe that they would have precedential value on this point.
So do you think deciding those cases by certiorari review was correct?
I believe in the posture that those cases were raised in the trial court review and the appellate court review, and then it came to the Supreme Court by certiorari review, the Supreme Court wasn't addressing this issue. They were addressing whether or not the appellate courts ruled correctly on certiorari.
So do you think those cases should have been a de novo review?
I think it should have been a de novo review, Judge, Justice. I'm sorry.
If we interpret the statute as you are saying, the statute then means that from the very beginning. That's what the statute means. What effect, if any, does that have on the prior cases where an inappropriate, according to you, standard of review was
I don't believe it would have any effect, Madam Justice. It's, again, those issues, this issue was not presented in those prior cases. And I believe the court was just proceeding on how, in the posture that the case was brought to the court. This is the first case that I'm aware of, and I believe the city is aware of, that this issue is squarely before this court.
Counsel, can you refresh my recollection as to other instances in addition to the issuance or retention or revocation of liquor license where a municipality's determination made according to the municipality's police powers is reviewed by the circuit court on a de novo basis?
I am not aware of any that are reviewed that way. And my answer
The reason I phrased it that way is refresh my recollection is that in 6 years as a trial court judge, I don't recall ever applying the de novo standard of review to a municipality's decision, which was an exercise of its police powers. They were always certiorari, and I was just trying to recall if maybe I missed some.
No, the answer to it, I believe, is this. The police powers are granted in 62.11 sub 5, and the statute, that's a general grant of police powers to a city. But the statute starts out very clearly, except as elsewhere in the statute specifically provided, and then the statute goes on and grants police powers to the city, then we get to where the legislature has spoken. And the legislature has spoken in the area of liquor licensing. As this court has noted in the past, 34 pages of regulations in the state statutes. It's one of the most heavily regulated trades in Wisconsin.
I don't know if that's your best argument, because the legislature has weighed in on almost every area of the exercise of a municipality, exercise of police power. When a trial court reviews matters of zoning, matters of building permits, matters of I'm having a mental block as to other issues that are commonly reviewed, but the legislature has spoken. I can't think of a single instance where the legislature hasn't spoken.
It's my position, sir, that in this liquor licensing under subdue, the legislature has spoken and provided for detailed, for example, sir, it's the legislature said it shall be a civil procedure, as in this case, a summons and complaint was filed, not a petition for a writ. Then there was an answer filed. And then we go on, and very detailed, it says the hearing shall be without a jury. That would be surplus also if this is a certiorari review. And if the legislature meant it to be a certiorari review, they would not have put in the provision without a jury, because you are not entitled to a jury trial in a certiorari review. And there's other provisions of this statute, for example, the right to use subpoenas to compel attendance and get additional testimony. If this was a straight certiorari review, then we would not need subpoenas on that issue. And
I guess the argument cuts both ways. If there is no right to a jury trial in a certiorari proceeding and the legislature simply notes that the hearing will occur without a jury, the argument could cut both ways, and that would be entirely consistent with certiorari.
I understand, sir, but the answer to that, I think, is this. They refer to the normal civil procedure in that statute, not the writ or certiorari procedure, and there is no requirement in this statute for a return of the record. If the legislature wished it to be a certiorari review, the statute would have been very simple. The review is by certiorari. The record shall be returned within 30 days, and the court shall rule within so many days.
Counselor, what are, you say, the normal rules of civil proceeding are going to apply? How do those rules specifically differ from the rules for certiorari proceeding before the circuit court?
In certiorari, it's commenced by filing a petition for a writ, and then the lower tribunal, normally the circuit court, would rule on whether or not to grant the writ. And then once the writ is granted, and there's no response to that by the other party in a certiorari proceeding, once the trial judge grants the writ of certiorari, then there's an order for the record to be returned and so on. And then the court will normally reach the four customary rules of whether the agency kept within its jurisdiction, acted according to law, etc.
But those are the substantive criteria about whether or not you're going to grant cert. I'm just looking at the phrase that I thought you were talking about, which is under 2D, the procedure on review shall be the same as in civil actions instituted in circuit court. And I'm just wondering about the procedure being the same when earlier in this very same statute there is a requirement of a summons and an answer So I don't know how you interpret that in light of the rest of the statute that we're looking at here that talks about things specifically, like a summons and an answer. What do you think that phrase means in 2D?
I read it with the procedure on review shall be the same as in civil actions, and then I read further that they shall be served in the manner provided in Chapter 801 for service in civil actions again. I read that to be a summons and complaint,
right,
and then an answer. And the issues then that the trial judge has to rule on are the issues raised in the summons and complaint. And then the burden is on the city. Madam Justice, we have to go back to sub 3. And remember, this is a non-renewal of a license. In
right.
sub 3,
right.
it grants the reasons a license can be non-renewed. Those are under 2 sub AG,
right.
and there's a whole list of reasons.
Right, right.
So, but, and this is a crucial point, and I'd like to inject it here. There are other reasons that, other than certiorari, that have to be raised in a de novo review. For example, if we get into some of these standards, as was raised in this case, an equal protection issue, where we're not being treated the same discrimination or similarly situated. Those issues can't be raised in a certiorari review because it's a review of the record. Let's take an extreme example. A city issues liquor licenses solely to white males. So we have an applicant, a minority female, files an application. It's denied, and the record is sent to the circuit court on certiorari. Under the city's view, the substantive issues of due process, equal protection, discrimination on race, sex, et cetera, could not be raised in certiorari. I believe that's why the legislature has put a de novo review.
Why do you think that due process couldn't be raised in certiorari? What is your authority for that?
The procedural due process protects individuals from government denial of fundamental procedural fairness. And if there's a denial of procedural fairness in a case, let's assume, for example, a minority female at the application stage says, I want to put in evidence that every license holder in this municipality is a white male. And they said, no, that's not an issue in your application. I think that would be a denial of procedural due process.
Why, I don't understand why you don't think it cannot be put in on a certiorari review if those were the facts that pertain to the particular license.
What would happen on a certiorari?
The statute prohibits that.
There would be no hearing. What would happen is an applicant, and this is a different scenario than we're under. We're under a denial of a renewal, but if an applicant simply filled out the application, what customarily happens in WASA, the committee makes a recommendation, and then the council votes yay or nay. There is no opportunity for a record there to raise these issues. And I believe these issues, they were raised in the IC Willie's matter. There were questions of equal protection under the 14th Amendment as to whether IC Willie's was being treated differently than other bars. And those are issues that have to be raised in a de novo hearing. They weren't raised at the before the city council.
But why could they not have been raised before the city council?
In our particular matter, Madam Justice, it's in the record. I tried to raise those issues many times, and the chairman of the committee refused to allow evidence on most of those issues.
Okay, so that's part of the record that goes up to the circuit court. And then why, I mean, the statute clearly says that you can subpoena witness, so why can you not, under a certiorari review, subpoena witnesses that would try to prove the points on due process that you believed you were precluded from making before the city?
Well, if it's a certiorari review, it's only on the record that's in there.
I think certiorari review is of two types, and I think Justice Bradley laid that out for you. If it's common law cert, there's no more evidence taken. If it's statutory cert, we have had many times when other evidence is taken.
And for example, Madam Justice, I believe in workers' comp, you can review it by certiorari and then have some additional testimony.
Workers' comp has got a whole chapter devoted to it, so that's a different kettle of fish than we're
talking. The other cases, though, where the additional testimony, and that's Merkel versus the village of Germantown, they allow the additional testimony only on the four issues that can be addressed in certiorari.
Did someone try to? I don't recall someone trying to raise a due process challenge such as you're talking about here.
I don't believe that I've seen it in the past either, Judge. I've seen it in some unpublished decisions that cannot be cited, but I have no cited cases where in state court that they've been raised.
Okay, but so there isn't really anything that would preclude us from saying, yeah, you get certiorari review, but you get an opportunity to raise these kinds of constitutional due process issues, correct?
That's correct.
Isn't that exactly what I'm sorry, Justice Rokenseck, are you finished?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Isn't that exactly what happened here? I'm looking at the transcript of the hearing in Appendix page 43, and the court really took these issues, that arguments that you made regarding I.C. Willie's not being similarly situated and other due process concerns, and put it in the third prong of, or primarily put it in the third prong of cert review. That is, was the decision by the city arbitrary and capricious? And on page 43 of the appendix, the court says, the final issue I must decide is, did the city act in an arbitrary, oppressive, or unreasonable manner that represented its will and not its judgment, lines 22 to 24. Continuing, it's my understanding that the plaintiff's position on this issue is this. There were other businesses similarly situated to I.C. Willie's during the time period in question, and despite being similarly situated, the city did not act to non-renew their license. And so those goes on to make a finding that the plaintiff, on page 45, has not put in sufficient evidence to establish that any other businesses were actually similarly situated, and given the history of I.C. Willie's that the court just summarized. And so he makes, he being the judge, makes specific findings with regard to that.
That is correct, Madam Justice. What had happened is Judge Grau, in essence, did a hybrid certiorari review. There was a hearing where he asked for a brief on what type of review it was to be, and he said, or ultimately ruled, the trial judge, that it would be a certiorari review, but we would be allowed to put in evidence on these certain narrow issues. And one of them was the 14th Amendment discrimination, that we were being treated differently. But the point was that was done at the trial court level. We weren't allowed to do that before the city council and the committee when they denied our initial renewal application. And that's where we should have been allowed to raise that, but we weren't. If it's not a de novo review, and Judge Grau ultimately applied just a straight certiorari review, and he said in the context of certiorari that they did not act in an arbitrary, oppressive, or unreasonable manner. He didn't rule on the 14th Amendment equal protection as a separate issue. He ruled on it as a part of the certiorari review.
A couple of things come to mind. Do you agree that asking for review of a decision by certiorari can be made either by a writ of certiorari or a complaint? Do you agree with that?
Yes, Madam Justice. There are, under the
several
statutory,
cases
where you can do that.
Yes, statutory. That's right. So the fact that it's a complaint doesn't mean that it wasn't cert review. Is that correct?
I would disagree in this respect. When it says it shall be the normal procedure in civil actions, if certiorari review is started by a summons and complaint, it's still certiorari review under the certiorari review standards. Here, the summons and complaint is under the same procedure as in civil actions. So I would disagree in that respect.
I'm trying to understand exactly what de novo review would mean here. But let's just say, okay, the standard is de novo review. Suppose the committee and the council decided that the person does not possess the qualifications required under this chapter to hold a license, or that the person keeps or maintains a disorderly or riotous, indecent, or improper house. That's what the committee's decided, and that's what the council has ratified. Are you saying that the circuit court can simply make a different judgment?
It's a little more complex than that, sir. What I think the de novo review means in this case, and we start with the proposition that it's the same procedure as in a civil case. That is the preponderance of the evidence standard. I believe that if the applicant, not the applicant, the license holder who's been non-renewed, appeals to this circuit court for de novo, the trial judge then will hear evidence. It would be the burden on the city of Wausau to show that one of those factors under 2AG existed by a preponderance of the evidence. And that's what I believe would happen in a de novo review. And then, of course, the applicant could put in evidence to show that it was not an indecent or improper house, or that the person sold to habitual drunkards and so on. They would put evidence in to show that by a preponderance of the evidence that it did not occur, and they were entitled to the license. And I believe that that was intended. As the city has pointed out, there is a very thorny issue between the Eastern District of Wisconsin federal courts and this court as to whether or not it's an actual property right to have a license and so on. But we're dealing with the situation where a license was issued. And the appellate court recognized that people have a tremendous investment in their property. They have their income from the property and so on. And it is my belief that the legislature, in granting a de novo review for a non-renewal of a license, not denial of an initial application, allowed this de novo review in recognition of the substantial property interest, income interest, and so on that bar owners have in their property. And so I believe that if an individual licensee wants to go and ask for de novo review, then the burden becomes under the statute, and we don't want to read any surplus words out of the statute. Under the normal civil procedure, that would be the preponderance of the evidence. The city would put in their evidence to show that it was an indecent or improper house. The defendant would put his evidence on, and the trial court would rule. Trial courts make that ruling every day on preponderance of the evidence. And I believe that is a procedure that should be followed. A long answer, sir, and I'm sorry.
Now, before the circuit court, can the city put in evidence that's in addition to the evidence that it presented in the previous hearing?
I believe, sir, they could for this reason. As happened in this one, you file a summons and complaint, and you lay out in the complaint, and just a hypothetical, you lay out that we were denied a license because it was an improper house. And it was not an improper house for these, and these reasons. The city then can file an answer, and as an affirmative defense, lay out not only did they violate sub 1 and 2, they violated 3, 4, and 5. And then through the normal civil procedures, the issues are joined. Everybody knows what the issues are, and a trial judge makes a ruling under the preponderance of evidence standard that trial judges use every day.
And could the defendant put in a lot of evidence that it had not put in before?
I believe they could, Judge, or Mr. Justice.
So what you're proposing is really an invitation to kind of skip a meaningful hearing in front of the licensing.
I don't believe so, and for this reason. A man or an individual who invests in a tavern puts his own money in there, and he only makes a return on his investment and makes money when that bar is open and he's doing business. I cannot believe of a situation where an individual owner, because of the time frames here, could possibly have his business closed and not make money and still have to pay property taxes, et cetera, and simply for the idea that I'm going to sandbag the committee and then try it in circuit court. Business owners don't make money going to court and hiring lawyers. They make their money by running their business. I would believe that any bar owner would put his best case on before the city council. They don't want to be in litigation. They want to be serving alcohol.
Have you ever represented a licensee in a dispute like this before?
No, sir, I have not.
You know other attorneys who have?
Oh, yes, sir. I've consulted with other attorneys on this particular case.
How have they used their pleadings when they wanted to challenge a decision by the city?
It's always been by summons and complaint, is my understanding.
What did they put in the complaint?
Virtually the same grounds that we did in ours. And what we had put in there was that they denied, their denial was improper, and that they we were treated differently than others. And that's what was put in. The city put in their answer and put in the record. But ours was a little different. What happened was Judge Grau limited what we could put in because he put it in the context of a certiorari review. If it was a de novo review, there were a lot of issues in this particular case, as Madam Bradley pointed out in Judge Grau's decision. For example, there were something like 51 police calls. And through vigorous cross-examination, it was shown that most of those didn't apply. For example, a police call, if an officer stops somebody speeding and they happen to stop in front of Icy Willie's, that location went in as the location of the speeding stop, and that was considered one of the 51 calls against Icy Willie's, that there was a police contact at Icy Willie's. So as Judge Grau referenced in his decision, we went through every one of those police reports and showed that the majority of them didn't apply to IC Willie's. And I believe that was in our pleading, sir.
Well, is that inconsistent with certiorari review?
I believe it is. Because we're putting in things that are different than go to the four customary elements of certiorari review that they kept within its jurisdiction and they acted lawfully and so on. I believe that is different.
So attacking the evidence on which the city relied is not certiorari review?
I don't believe that on certiorari review, all the court has to do is, a court on certiorari review cannot substitute its judgment for the judgment of the city of Wausau. So, and I believe it's in this record, and I'm doing this from memory, as Judge Grau made a comment, had this been before me, initially, my decision may have been different, but because it's certiorari review, I have to hold that the city acted within its authority and so on. I believe there are situations where a trial judge may rule differently as to whether or not it is a disorderly house once a trial judge has heard the evidence. And I believe that sub 2, sub B gives them that authority.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? No, thank you, Mr. Lister. Ms. Jacobson, attorney for the City of Wausau. You have 5 minutes of rebuttal, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Justice. May it please the Court. As we've now seen, it's not the civil procedure or the process by which a review is initiated with which we are concerned, but the actual standard of review that I believe must be conducted by the circuit court that, as Justice Bradley pointed out, I don't think is clearly spelled out in the statute. Yes, it refers to the procedure, the process by which the review is commenced, and talks about subpoenas and getting witnesses and taking additional evidence. But that's the process, civil procedure. It's not the standard by which the evidence needs to be reviewed by the circuit court. The municipality gave the licensee proper notice and a due process hearing, a full due process hearing. The Court of Appeals decision would effectively ignore all of the prior holdings of this court going back to Beru, Ruffalo, Oak Creek, Marquette, and Eikenseer, which really emphasized the policy goals of the city and the fact that licensing is the exclusive province of municipalities, and it's such a matter of local concern that to deprive the city of a certiorari review and have the review be by de novo, I think would just completely turn on its head all of the prior cases this court has decided. The policy goals of preserving law and order is cited in Eikenseer, and the societal right to protect itself and promote the general welfare are all policy goals that are served by leaving the matters of granting, non-renewing, and denying liquor licenses a matter of local concern.
Also, you have a lot of precedent on your side. If you look explicitly at the statute, or specifically at the statute,
yes,
what is it in the statute that is your strongest argument that should not be de novo reviewed?
I understand what you're asking, and it kind of follows what Justice Bradley asked earlier. What informs the reader of what's going to happen at the hearing? And I think that's precisely what's missing from the statute. It talks about the procedure by which the review is initiated, but it doesn't tell us under 3M, for instance, what's going to happen upon the granting or non-granting of a new license. And yet the granting and revocation and renewal of licenses is supposed to be treated the same. I think it's through case law and through precedent that we derive the review of a municipality's or a governing body's decision by cert review by this four-prong standard we've been talking about. I think that's derived from case law.
Do you think 80102 sub 5 bolsters your argument that the civil procedure language in here is the procedural mechanism in that for certiorari review? That's the commencement of action section in the civil procedure chapter.
Well, I think it refers to
commencing a writ.
I think it confirms that it's the procedure by which the actions commence, not the review standard that should be looked at, whether we're going to have a whole brand new de novo trial. And the statute does not use the word, obviously, certiorari or de novo. But it does talk about a hearing. So the only way I think we can make sense of that is to say this is how this review is commenced, this judicial review is commenced. You can have a summons and complaint. You can subpoena witnesses. But the hearing itself will be a statutory-like certiorari review of this four-prong standard to make sure that the municipality kept within its jurisdiction and followed the law and was not arbitrary and capricious.
It seems to me you have no basis in the exact words of the statute that it's statutory cert. On the other hand, there's no basis in the statute that it's de novo review, forget about the evidence at the city level, just let's start totally new, sort of like you might do with a municipal court when you ask for circuit court review. So neither one of you has anything explicit in the statute. So you have to find something elsewhere. So you find precedent. And the answer to that is, yeah, but hey, they don't find it in the statute either. So maybe it's not such good precedent, even though this statutory language dates back to, 1933?
Correct.
All right. So where else would you look? You can look in the context in which this statute appears, right?
Yes.
And so then the question is, in the context in which the statute appears, what makes better sense? They at the circuit courts around the state shall determine who gets a license or whether the denial is improper, another way of putting it. Or is it better sense that the local unit of government be given deference or that the finger on the scale of justice is in favor of what the city did on the grounds that it's quite legislative, quasi-legislative, they know best, they've been invested with the power, et cetera. So is that part of your argument, or isn't it part? Should it be? Shouldn't it be?
Chief Justice, I see that my time has run out. May I answer your question, please?
It would be silly if I said no.
Okay.
So you may.
Obviously, I'm arguing that it makes more sense to leave that to the local municipality, the governing body that knows its community best, and it doesn't make sense to leave that decision to the circuit court judge to decide who's going to be granted a liquor license and who's not going to be granted a liquor license. It is part of our argument that it makes more sense that that be left to a matter of local concern.
If I understand your argument and that of your co-counsel, you think it's a statutory cert, even though it's not explicit, and that the evidence is limited to the four grounds for cert, and that's what the focus is, and that the circuit court would consider everything presented at the city council plus all the evidence presented in the trial court, and one would assume that redundant evidence would not be allowed.
That what kind
Does that
of evidence?
Work? Pardon me? Oh, I'm
what
sorry.
What kind of evidence would be allowed?
Redundant evidence would not be allowed, so if you have the same testimony in the city, you wouldn't have it again at the circuit court, but the trial judge would look at the circuit court evidence.
Yes, that's our argument, and I agree with what you said.
Any other questions? Justice Prosser.
It seems to me Mr. Lister argued that there were 57 different complaints, that the city relied on 51 different complaints, mm-hmm. and some of those were specious, that they were unrelated to any conduct at all by the tavern, and that you need de novo review in order to challenge some of those 51. What's your response?
My response to that would be you don't need a whole de novo trial on the merits of the non-renewal because he could argue that that was the city acting in an arbitrary and capricious manner. So he could bring in evidence of exactly what he argued under this cert review type review in the circuit court under one of those four prongs. And I think he did that the city acted arbitrarily and capriciously. He could bring that in at the circuit court hearing.
Well, and that's what happened
without
here.
A de novo trial.
And that's what happened here.
Exactly.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
I want to thank Attorney Vanderwall and Ann Jacobson arguing on behalf of the city and Attorney Lister arguing on behalf of Noel for an interesting new approach to a judicial review of licensing matters. That concludes our hearing in 11 AP 1045, Noel versus City of Warsaw. The court will take a few minutes of a recess to allow counsel and others, if they wish, to leave in counsel for the state of Jack v. Jackson to appear. And recess.